Hey everybody, it's Sunny. I am just letting you know that you're listening on the iTunes feed. Go sign up at Patreon, subbeacon.com. Got a bonus episode, Dinosaur Draft. Very exciting for you over there. This week we're going to be talking about Elvis, surprise hit at the box office. And then the bonus episode is going to be about Blade Runner, which turns 40 this week. Turned 40 last week, I guess. So anyway, go sign up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com. Listen to this episode about the very bad Jurassic World Dominion. And we'll see you over there.
We can't keep her here forever.
They find her, we're never gonna see her again. We gotta protect her. That's our job.
Humans and dinosaurs can't coexist.
We created an ecological disaster.
Ellie Sattler.
Alan Grant.
You didn't come out all this way just to catch up now, did you?
You coming or what?
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sonny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe. Tell your friends. And don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? Sonny, what's going on?
Not a whole lot on my end. My daughter has a Girl Scout dusk camp this week. So it's a lot of driving her out to Plano, which is
dusk.
30
dusk
minutes.
Camp.
Is that, yeah, you did this because, last year, didn't you?
Yeah, we did this last year, and it was a pain in the ass last year, too. Is it
like a bivouac?
No, it's just like they stand outside in a field while the sun goes down, and then they do, I don't know, Girl Scout campfire things, and then we pick them up at 10, and it's from 6 to 10.
Oh, but, it's too it's late.
Like, you got to leave 30 minutes early to get there.
Little girls? That's crazy.
It's crazy. It sucks. So anyway, that's been fun. Spending a lot of time up in Plano, going to various restaurants,
It's the home of Frito-Lay.
It is? I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's where Frito-Lay is. And also you should check out, there's a great restaurant that I've been to in Plano called the Bavarian Grill.
Oh, you've been to the Bavarian Grill, huh?
Yeah, shocked. Right.
Shocked.
Yes. In fact, I took the microphone and then I led the restaurant in a chant. I'm just going to leave it at that.
You're trying to drown out somebody singing Marseille?
Marseille, yes. No, Marseille. You know, the usual, tsikitsaki, hoi, hoi, hoi. You know, right. The usual. Anyway.
So anyway, frozen. my week has been very annoying. Just a lot of driving and, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's fine. How have your guys' weeks been?
JVL, how are you? This is it. D-Day plus, D-Day minus.
This is D-Day minus five. I'm hoping to make it through this show. I was outside. Flash had a bunch of his buddies over, and then they decided to go out and play basketball, and then they wanted me to come out and play with them. Me playing pickup basketball with a bunch of ninth grade boys who are all serious athletes. I will say this. I dominated them.
Oh, that's reassuring.
But they were all having fun, and at the end, I thought I needed an ambulance.
You needed the oxygen tank,
so or a defibrillator or something. It was rough. I would say I was a little more winded than they were, but today we did the pre-closing, where we go out to the title company with the real estate attorney and we signed a bunch of papers and stuff, and we brought G Money with us. Because we just wanted to separate the kids to some degree. He has been really a nudge, just like going on picking at everybody, you know, pick, trying to get them. Is this annoying? So we brought him with us. And when he's got one-on-one time, he's lovely.
Yeah.
And so we get there and the real estate attorney is like, you know, making little conversations with him. And he says, and so what are you most excited about for New Jersey, for moving to New Jersey? And he says, the thing I'm most excited about is going to go see Bon Jovi, because Bon Jovi's from New Jersey, and so I'm going to get to see them. And this guy looks at me, he's like, oh, Bon Jovi. And G goes, yeah, yeah. But the thing is, I won't see them if Richie Sambora isn't playing with them. Like, I, if Richie Sambora is not playing, I won't go to the show. So the guy's like, Richie Sambora, okay, okay. And, you know, he's like trying to catch up, and like G lowers his voice, starts getting a little conspiratorial. He says, you know, Richie left the band when his dad died, and and then he had some personal problems. The guy's like, yeah. And G like half whispers to him, I think that means drugs.
How, it doesn't mean old, that at all.
How old is G Money? How
G Money is five.
Okay.
G Money's five. He just, you know, he repeats everything Flash says.
Oh.
So this is, you know, he has picked up from Flash that the reason
Flash is giving him the behind the music.
Yeah.
On
yeah,
Bon Jovi.
Exactly. And so
Richie
I then
Sambora and Heather Locklear.
Yeah. Yeah. She went from she traded up from,
yeah, from
Tommy
Motley Crue,
from
right?
Tommy Lee to yes. Richie Sambora, who is a fabulously talented guy. Do you guys know that Richie Sambora auditioned for Kiss and was turned down?
He must
they
have been
were
insanely young
to,
then at the time.
Yeah, yeah. He was, I think it was maybe the audition before his audition for Bon Jovi. And mm-hmm. the Kiss guys didn't, they just thought he wasn't a good fit. And they're right. He would have been a terrible fit for that garbage band.
wow. But, I can't believe we're going to have some listeners who could be very upset about that.
Are there big Kiss fans anymore?
I feel like
Kiss is...
I'd say Kiss had
Kiss Army, I recognize.
I'd say some of the best song names that I wish I came up with. Number one, Lick It Up. Okay. Another one, Love Gun. Mm. And the other one is Rock Hard, parentheses, You Make Me. So in case you didn't know what Rock Hard might be a reference to.
They were talking that they rock so hard.
Right.
Rock
parentheses.
Hard. You make me rock
parentheses,
so hard.
Parentheses. You make me. Ah. Ah. I get it now.
They're rock because they're rocking. I don't
do
know.
You remember the Kiss dolls?
I do.
And the
do
Kiss
remember.
Action figures?
Yes.
And I
yes.
believe a Kiss animated series. The
yeah,
Kiss
all
guys
of the above.
Were, I would say this, they were.
I remember the TV show. They had a Kiss TV yeah. show.
They were pioneers in taking their act, and it was just an act,
and
merchandising the hell out of it.
They
like
did.
That. They're not a band.
They're
they
a business.
They were like a business.
Gene Simmons.
Lifestyle brand.
They were the Limp Bizkit of the 70s
oh,
and
80s.
No, they
were. No, they were not.
I don't think they ever sang a song had the name Kiss in their song.
They were better than Limp Bizkit at selling out. Than Limp Bizkit. I mean, like, Limp Bizkit wasn't that good at merchandising and that sort of thing.
I think for a while,
were there
Limp
Bizkit pogs?
Limp Bizkit
and
a rock.
Limp Bizkit was very...
Limp Bizkit.
Was very big.
My only real experience with Kiss is the movie Detroit Rock City, which I've probably watched a dozen times. That came out
that's
in like
your time. That's
99
after my time.
Or 2000.
Edward Furlong.
One of Eddie Furlong's last big movies. But I love that movie. It's silly, but it's fun. It's like it was in that post-American Pie wave of like teen sex romps, but there's not really any sex in it. Mm. I think Natasha Lyonne is in it. She's
yes,
very good.
I'm sure she was.
But anyway.
Yeah, that's all that's going on with me. Victorina, okay. How are you, buddy?
Okay, busy, crazy.
That's a big teddy bear you got behind you.
Yeah, that was from upstairs. That's one of mine. Yeah, oh my gosh.
That's a Costco special.
We did a lot of furniture. You know, there's like new bedroom furniture upstairs. So all this stuff.
You got new furniture?
Downstairs. Well, no, for the kids' rooms, like bedroom stuff, like new beds and stuff. So they just brought everything downstairs. Do me a favor, if the teddy bear moves.
If it starts moving.
Know,
if the teddy bear's head does this. Yes,
right. No, if it turns, right, please let me know.
And I'm not going to say anything.
Get the frick out of here.
I'm not going to say anything, but if you see me pull up my camera and just start like my phone and just start like taping it down here.
That's not a Teddy Ruxpin bear. That's
a
big, soft, plushy bear.
Here's my big bear. His name is Chucky. Everything's fine. I don't understand.
I love those movies with those dolls. Like, are any of them actually adorable when they got them? No, they were terrible. No. So it's been very busy.
Wait. You have to explain. So you just bought new furniture for all the kids' rooms?
For the kids' rooms.
Did they need bigger
beds? The beds were not big enough. So, but this is stuff. This is stuff that was ordered almost a year ago, but because of supply chain, it took this long. to actually get here. Kate did everything. I didn't do any of this stuff. So,
well, yeah.
But she even measured it so that apparently when the movers came in, they had their doubts about like it's going to fit. But Kate's like, no. She had it down.
Did they assemble it?
They did. But she had it timed so that the junk removal guys came in within 15 minutes before the other guys came in. Because then,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, she's a pro.
Like Operation Barbarossa?
Yeah, I know. I thanked her for it. So we... in fact, so over the weekend,
I gave her a 20. I slipped her a 20.
I tipped her. I don't know. Do you tip the?
You did a great job.
I definitely tipped her because
you did a great job, ma'am.
Just the tip.
Speaking of which, we went to Charleston over the weekend.
Oh,
Charleston races and slots?
And slots. No, Charleston, South Carolina. Never been down there. That is a Southern foodie mecca. I loved it. It is. Have you been down there? It's so amazing.
Yeah.
I'd say the ratio of girl to guy is about 5 to 1.
Interesting.
Lots of bachelorette parties. Women dressed to the nines. There's just so many. And certain restaurants were like, every woman there was like ridiculously hot. It was crazy. At some point,
including your wife.
Including my wife. And I turned to her and I said, especially. Is it just me? And she goes, no, this is crazy. What's going on over here? So, no, it was, we hadn't got, it's been like, over a year or whatever since it was just her and me getting away from the kids. And so we were able to do that. And she was like, I was like very excited for this. And she was like, this is so great because then, you know, Charleston, there's so much to see. And I said, trust me, you're not going to see much. Come on. No, does that? No, not even. I ran that joke by her first. And then I had other jokes, but they were much worse. And she's not going to let me tell those.
Well, so I need to hear the other jokes to vote on which is the best.
Yeah, I don't.
You can cut it from Sonny can cut it out of the show.
Is the joke that you have a small dick? I don't even understand what the joke is.
No.
Sonny,
that's
terrible. Not going to see much.
What are you talking? Not see.
You're
not going
to see much.
You're thinking
there's not much.
Much
to
like
see
with
here.
Your movie watching, you're overthinking this.
I don't know where you're going. I don't even understand.
Give me the other material, Vic.
Okay,
we got to vote on which is the best.
Okay, then you're going to bleep it? You're going to bleep it and say, you'll see.
I have time. Oh, that's a good one. See, that's better. That makes more sense.
There was also one worse than that, but I'll leave it at that. I'm kidding. Jokes aside, we had plenty of time. We had plenty of time to tour Charleston, believe me.
Well, I mean, how long could the other thing could take?
Let me tell you something. It was so quick, the hotel channel didn't reset. Come on. For those of you who appreciate hotel channel, thank you, JVL. I wrote that one and then I bolded it on my script because I said that's a good one because I love hotel channel for some reason. And it's just on a loop. It's just on a loop, the hotel channel. And that's the joke was that, it didn't even get to the end.
That was one of my favorite jokes from the second season, or maybe it was the
first
season
of
Ted Lasso,
yes.
Where
just thinking
Keely
that
is.
And she has no memory. Yeah. She has no memory of having done that gig.
Done the hotel channel. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, we had a lovely time.
I'm so glad.
And that was it. And we were able to, rekindle a little romance. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Jurassic World Dominion plowed into the box office with 145. Oh, come on. No. Yeah, that might have to be bleeped out. I had like a bottle and a half of wine before getting to this show, by the way. Into the box. Wow.
Really?
Here's the funniest part. On the script, it says, I forgot the word office. It said into the box. I'm sorry. Honey, I'm sorry. I swear. Plowed into the box office with 100. I know, with 145. Really? $145.1 million, followed by Top Gun Maverick, which took in an additional $51.9 million. And in third place, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, still at it, which conjured $5.2 million. Box office thoughts. JVL, you said your theater for Jurassic Park Dominion was sparse compared to Top Gun Maverick.
So what I went to see Jurassic Park on the Tuesday after the opening weekend. I had previously gone to see Top Gun on the Monday after the opening weekend. Mm-hmm. The Monday after the opening weekend for Top Gun, totally sold out, giant auditorium. Six people at the IMAX in the AMC on the Monday night for this. And I got to tell you, I look at this and I can't understand how this movie did $145 million.
Same. Sonny, box office thoughts. Because I saw it also on a Tuesday night and it was so-so crowd.
There are several reasons for this. One is that people inexplicably love these dumb movies. I mean, remember when the first Jurassic World? I mean, first Jurassic Park, very good. All the rest have been bad. But like when the first Jurassic World came out, it was one of these legacy sequels. People were like, do we really want?
This
do
is
people
the first
want
one
another
Chris
Jurassic
Pratt?
Park.
And it opened $220 million, right?
And I think it opened at $200 million, just like almost an even $200 million the opening weekend. But it had like been projected to do like $110 or $120 or something like that. And it like kept like leapfrogging over the number throughout the weekend. It was one of these like real crazy word of mouth hits for whatever reason, because that first one is terrible too.
It's a very bad movie.
This is the theme park redux Bryce Dallas Howard.
Right. Yeah. I'm not shocked because people love these dumb movies. 145 is right in line with what Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom did. The market for blockbuster films has recovered almost entirely at this point. I mean, we've had $300 million openings in the last 6 weeks, which has happened, I think, once or twice before in the history of the box office. Yeah. So,
meaning Strange Maverick and this.
Yeah, right. So Doctor Strange 2, Top Gun Maverick, and this all came out within, 5 weeks of each other, weekends of each other. And all three have opened to more than $100 million over their first 3 days. And they're, the very top of the box office has recovered totally. I tweeted something the other day that, like, you know, in the last 6 months, we've had the biggest Spider-Man movie of all time. We've had the biggest Tom Cruise movie of all time. And we've also had the biggest A24 movie of all time, which is Everything Everywhere All at Once. So, like,
Wait a minute. You said that did better than The Lighthouse?
Yes. Shocker. But like the top of the box office seems to be back. I mean, the only real issue now is just a lack of, frankly, just a lack of new movies every week. And here's my general take on this. I don't think it's actually a bad thing if instead of having a tentpole every week, which is what for a while we had that basically from like March through about October, we would have a tentpole sized movie 4 out of every 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was unsustainable. I mean, that sort of thing, when you're releasing 20 movies a year that need to gross $800 million to break even, like that's not a sustainable business model for anyone. So I think we could see, you know, I think the box office probably stabilizes around 75% to 85% of what the annual total was in 2019, the last year before the pandemic. And that's basically the new normal, which I think is probably enough that most of the, you know, most movie theaters can survive. I think you'll see some, you will see some more contraction, but the top of the blockbuster marketplace is back. I mean, again, like the fact that this bad movie did $145 million with no problem whatsoever.
Sonny, give me a percentage decline for week two.
Yeah, come on. Give me some hope.
60? 65?
67 to 70%. I mean, the thing is, it actually hasn't gotten terrible audience. I mean, it got hammered by critics, but, you know, what do critics know? Critics are assholes. And the audience score, I think it was an A- from CinemaScore, which is perfectly fine. It's better than Doctor Strange's B+.
You think the word of mouth is going to be like, oh wait?
I think the word of mouth is going to be fine. I think the word of mouth, it's not going to be disastrous. You're not going to see, I mean, like, again, you'll probably see like a 65 to 70% drop off somewhere in that range from first to second weekend. But I don't think it's not going to be like Morbius, right? It's not going to disappear from theater. In 4 weeks. I think it'll probably get to around $1 billion worldwide. I'd be a little bit surprised if it didn't. You know, and good for them. Good for Universal.
Can I ask you this? Did you have the same opening to this that I did, which is with the Minions?
The Minions.
Oh, including the Minions trailer. I can't do it anymore. I walked out of the trailer because of the language. I don't like the language.
You want to know something interesting about the Minions language?
JVL.
It is different for every territory it is released
in. What?
So the Minions language that you get in the French version is different than the Minions language you get in the Brazilian version, which is different than the Minions language you get in the German version, because the Minions language is purposefully a pastiche of vaguely familiar words to your home language mixed with like different kinds of sounds that sound vaguely foreign. And so that mix is adjusted depending on where you are releasing the thing.
That's actually very interesting. No wonder these movies are, again, these movies, terrible movies that are huge hits. The Minions and
You realize that that means that if they actually played Minions exactly how we hear it in like Hungary, it would be like, oh, English to them. They'd be like, oh, yeah. Oh,
that's... So here's my question. Did you guys get the Bullet Train trailer?
Not for this one, but for Top Gun I did.
Yeah,
Brad Pitt in a... I can't even try to figure out how to describe it. Maybe it's Brad Pitt's Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Well, no, it's Brad Pitt doing Deadpool by way of a Bruce Lee movie.
I'm kind of there for it.
I don't know.
I mean, I think it looks... I mean, look, it depends on how...
I feel like they oversold it.
It depends on how sticky it is, because I think there's like a very decent chance that they go. So originally the script for this movie supposedly was a pretty straightforward action thriller type movie. And then as they were shooting it, they like just leaned into the comedy of it. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that works. I mean, I like that director. I like the Deadpool movies fine. The first one is better than the second one, but you know, whatever. I like Brad Pitt, obviously. Brad Pitt's great. Sure, I like most of the actors in that too. I didn't realize that is that Sandra Bullock who is the I didn't realize that Sandra Bullock was the like you know, the handler for Brad Pitt, which is I'm gonna see it for sure. I like those.
All right, well let's talk about Jurassic Park. There's a lot to talk about.
Sonny, how about a big boy? I have some. It's all terrible. I have a lot of notes, but it's all terrible. Sonny, how about a big boy review?
Jurassic World Dominion picks up where Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom left off. And I got to be honest with you guys, this movie came out 3 years ago. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom came out 3 years
ago.
I think. Or was it 4 years ago? Was it 2018?
Fallen Kingdom was the last one we saw, which is where they freed everybody.
Right, they
was
freed all.
Really?
And also there was a clone girl, which I had forgotten about.
I forgot about that. The only thing I remembered about the last Jurassic on the show, as I mentioned, I called it Jurassic Fart because the guy next to me in the movie theater kept on releasing gas.
Silent but Deadlies, or were they?
Yes,
were they rumbling?
Yes. No, rumbling SPDs. SPDs. It was the worst.
All right, so Jurassic World Dominion picks up where Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom has left off. The dinosaurs are now merging with the natural wildlife. They're becoming part of the ecosystems. They're running with the Mustangs and whatnot. In the midst of all this, there are giant locusts that have been crossed with dinosaur DNA who are mysteriously only eating crops.
Yeah.
That were not seeded by biosyn.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm picking up on the subtle wordplay here, but biosyn.
Sonny, even I got that. Even I got that.
Which is run by Tim Cook, apparently.
Bill Gates, but close. Yeah.
Tim Cook. Tim Cook.
It's definitely
totally.
Tim Cook. Tim Cook is running this evil biological engineering company that is destroying the world's crops with the locusts, and also is trying to get all the dinosaurs, has been given a contract by the government to round up the dinosaurs and keep them in a preserve, but there's a black market for dinosaurs.
In the Dolomite Mountains.
The Dolomite Mountains, I guess. Somewhere in Italy? Is that where
they're
supposed to be?
Like
there
Italian
in Italy?
Alps. It's really?
Yeah.
Weird place to have a dinosaur reserve, but okay, fine. Anyway.
It is a dinosaur reserve filled with incredibly hot, steaming jungles.
Yes.
In a valley ringed
by the
Swiss
Alps. The
Dolomite
is just like that.
I didn't. I
One
legitimately
did not. One
of the most
ridiculous fucking things I've ever seen on screen.
Since Back to the Future. Three, where they go out west, and like behind Hill Valley is Monument Valley.
It made me viscerally angry watching this.
I mean, it's like the Savage Land from X-Men. That's, I was like, it's like they're in Antarctica, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's giant steamy jungle with all the dinosaurs. Sure, makes sense. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted because the plot of this movie is so dumb and boring, and I just don't care about it. I mean, like, Chris
here,
Pratt.
Let me,
and,
can I help you here, Sonny?
Please, please do.
Yes, because the entire world.
What happened, Sonny? JDL.
The entire world is terrified by these locusts, which are eating crops and are going to lead to a gigantic collapse in the food chain and the starvation of billions. Mm-hmm. And everybody notices that it's crazy that these locusts eat all crops except for crops that are seeded by biosyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody can put two and two together except for Ellie Sattler. And she thinks that what they need to do is find proof that biosyn is behind this in order to show people, because this is not something that every fucking government in the world would have been on from the very beginning. Who wrote this? So this is the motivation for one, because what this movie does is it has two sets of protagonists who have nothing to do with one another, who don't know each other, and have no interest in one another, and have no shared goals, marching along, like, not even parallel, like, doing their own thing for an hour 50 until they finally are brought together in the end for no reason whatsoever. So, because our other set of protagonists are Chris Pratt and
Bryce Dallas Howard,
who have a clone daughter that they love for some reason, even though the kid is an absolute brat and... Like,
I liked her accent.
Who among us?
Sorry.
But, I mean,
there. I was just trying to simplify half of the movie for you, Sonny.
Thank you. So that's half the movie. So this movie really is the synthesis of the two trilogies, right? You have the Jurassic Park trilogy, Jurassic World trilogy, and it is bringing them together, and it's doing so incredibly successfully, as you can tell by my ability to relay the plot. But my favorite thing about this movie is that it has Chris Pratt doing his, like, raptor whispering thing where he just holds his hand out and he stops the raptor. He's like, hey, you listen to me.
All the dinosaurs
respond to this. Mm-hmm. Like every dinosaur, not just the one he has like raised by hand since birth.
And they respond to it even when his 13-year-old daughter does it.
She's
or
very
when
good.
Sam Neill does it later on. Like they're just it's like the Force trick, but for dinosaurs. It's like the Jedi mind trick, but for dinosaurs.
By the way,
apparently
this
it works.
First started with Paul Hogan and Crocodile Dundee. I just want to point that out. He was the master of it.
I hated this movie for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, again, is that it's just spectacularly stupid. It's a spectacularly dumb movie. Nothing in it makes any sense. The FX work in this movie is shockingly bad. For a movie that cost $250 million or whatever this movie cost, like, the backgrounds frequently look very fake. The dinosaurs themselves are usually fine, but, like, there's such an obvious difference between the CGI action dinosaurs and the, like, cute puppet dinosaurs in the market that it's really jarring. It's not like it's not like Jurassic Park, the original, where Steven Spielberg, who's a good filmmaker, was able to merge and meld the digital and the puppetry.
But you
go from these shots of these, like, clearly fake dinosaurs, clearly computer-generated dinosaurs, to the ones that are, like, clearly, you know,
Jim
animatronic
Henson
puppy.
Puppet labs.
Yeah, like, it's very jarring, very annoying. This film's only real saving grace is Jeff Goldblum, who recognizes that it isn't, the whole thing is absurd and disrespects it every chance he gets. Like, I mean, he clearly doesn't give a damn about any of this, and his character is written smartly, I think, in such a way to, like, kind of take the piss out of all of it, just to you know.
Is it? I didn't pick up on any of that.
Oh, I think he clear. I mean, like, the lines where he's like, you know, you made a promise to a dinosaur. It's just, like, it's absurd. The whole thing, like, when Chris Pratt is walking around with the, like, zonked out baby raptor on his back, he's like, you have a dinosaur on your... Like, he's just highlighting how dumb all of this is. And it is dumb. Dumb movie, bad. I don't care for any of the... I don't care for any of the set pieces. I don't care for any of the characters. I like Chris Pratt a lot. I think he's fine in this for what he is, but, like... the role is a nothing role. It's bad.
Chris
Everything's
Pratt
bad.
Is shrinking before our eyes as a actor. Like, that guy gets worse in every movie we see him in. And his frat boy charm that worked really well at age 25 is not working as he approaches middle age. And, you know, one of the things I thought during the Mission Impossible segment of the movie is that when I was watching...
Which part...
So when I was...
Were they hopping over the rooftops of villas?
Yes, during that segment.
Malta.
See, I thought
Malta.
That was a James Bond segment.
Yeah, no, I was thinking James Bond,
no.
But Malta.
So I was thinking back to Mission Impossible Rogue Nation and the thrilling motorcycle chase through an old Middle Eastern-type city.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I like the Mission Impossible movies quite a lot, as you guys know.
Yeah.
But when I was watching Rogue Nation, the one thing I thought is that this scene is missing Velociraptors. And Jurassic World Dominion fixes that. Mm-hmm. They take almost the same scene, almost beat by beat, but they insert Velociraptors, and so it's awesome. Oh, I'm sorry.
Laser guided.
And also, they're not Velociraptors. They're like Hydroraptors or something.
Those
are killers versus the other Velociraptors.
Yeah, laser guided.
Aren't as bad.
Because the laser activates pheromones that then allow the Velociraptors
to track
its target across the globe.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's my thing. So after having seen Top Gun, of course, you know, the weapons officer, you got to keep the laser, the bead. You got to keep it on the target until it hits the target. In this movie, you just click on once.
As long as
the laser flashed on you, that's it.
Well, it's a pheromone laser, Victor.
You're done.
It's science.
It makes sense if you think about it.
Do you guys know the history for how we got this dumbass set of movies?
Please.
Well, the history where they were going to have like the human-dinosaur hybrid movies?
No.
Really?
No. So all of this is downstream.
Because that sounds like Human Centipede, and I'd be down to watch that.
All of this is downstream from a script for Jurassic Park 4, which was never made, written by John Sayles, who is a great indie director, who also did a lot of screenwriting for the Roger Corman B-movie world. Like, he wrote things like Crocodile. Do you remember the movie Crocodile?
Sure.
It was, you know, with the idea that crocodiles in a giant crocodile in New York City was coming up through people's drains to eat nubile young women in the bathtub.
The urban legend is real.
Right.
As happens.
So John Sayles writes a script for Jurassic Park 4 in which an evil Swiss billionaire has assembled a team of velociraptors and implanted neural devices in their heads and turned them into commandos. And he hires a mercenary to come in and be the team leader of the velociraptor. Oh. And the dino, he sends these dino commandos out on a series of missions. And they do halo jumps from, you know, down to rescue somebody from a kidnapping. And they do all these things that no SEAL Team 6 could ever do. You know, only a team of trained velociraptors could do. And that then the mercenary is the one who eventually realizes that he's got to break his buddies out of this. His buddies, the dinosaurs, who he can communicate with telepathically.
Well, I thought they were supposed to be raptor human hybrids.
No.
I thought maybe that's a different terrible version.
And Spielberg fell in love with this script, but it never got made. And then this became the entire idea for the Jurassic World Chris Pratt character. But they tried to make it slightly more realistic because he's just a trainer, you know. And he's got he raises the raptors. And that's why he can talk. But by the end, he's like making verbal contracts with a fucking dinosaur.
Yes. I'm going to go get her.
Well, it's like...
I made her a promise.
I mean, no, it's like, I don't know about the book, but it's like the movie Congo, you know, where they put on the device on the gorilla, and not only does it explain, so the gorilla, you know, it'll tell you what it is, thirsty, hungry, angry, all of a sudden you're having a normal conversation, and suddenly it's no longer gorilla, you know, it's the same thing with the raptor.
Sense.
You're having an intelligent...
Gorillas and humans are very close to each other. Coco knew 1,000...
Was that the name, Coco?
Coco knew 1,500 words in sign language. He could communicate.
I forget how much you love Congo.
Raptors are lizards.
Congo,
Congo's a good movie. Congo's a good... Great book.
Oh, man.
Great book, good movie. Not a great movie.
Jurassic Park amazing world. Movies.
Not Jurassic Park good, but it's a fantastic fantastic book.
So continue.
Tim Curry,
JBL, continue.
Delroy Lindo.
I feel bad because I'm poised to go full Limp Bizkit, and I don't want to do this just to steal your and filibuster of your Victorino.
No.
But I damn near walked out of this movie.
I hated it so much. You know what, Shavy? You're not going to believe this, but I almost walked out of the movie too. Isn't that crazy?
I came so close to walking out that I got up and left the theater just to go walk around for a minute to try to get myself calm enough to go back. Yes. And so I went back in, and I had to do it again. I had to do that twice in order to like strap it on and make it through. And I didn't make it all the way to the credits. Now, I think I sort of got to the climax of the movie. There may have been like a button on the end of it.
I got to where they freed the raptor into the wild, and then the older raptor come by and said, thanks. And then that was it. And
oh, I didn't make it to that. I got like they're on the helicopter leaving. And so I figured, okay, great, fine. We're at the denouement. And
Sonny's going to tell us we missed a lot, isn't he? There must be something. There must be like a stinger.
Well, you missed the post-credit scene where the United States military calls Chris Pratt out of retirement. He's got to come train his hybrid human raptor dinosaur friends.
Because
we're going to space. It's Jurassic Galaxy
now.
The
only thing that's left, by the way, is dinosaurs in space because it's just been so normalized from the second dinosaurs arrived in L.A., a long time ago, which is like, 20-something years ago, whatever it was, I'm like, okay, that's it. And here they are now. You can't top. I'm just like...
Jurassic Park Moonraker.
No, you guys did actually miss the dumbest... You left and you missed the dumbest scene in the movie. You did. I will just explain it to you. So as the movie comes to a close, there's a montage of shots of dinosaurs running with like wild mustangs, like running together in packs. Yeah. And then there's dinosaurs, the big dinosaur that we see at the beginning that eats the crab.
Yes, the sea one, the one from the ocean.
Is swimming with a humpback whales peacefully, And then there's another one where pterodactyls are flying off with Canadian geese.
It sounds like it would work.
And they're all just living together in harmony.
Stop because
that's how it would work.
That's how invasive species works.
That's how it would work in nature. The species would come together and they would find an equilibrium.
Unlike
humanity, which cannot come to equilibrium
with
the world. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Let them fight.
Fuck that. That is like all of those dinosaurs would eat all of those animals and there would just be nothing but dinosaurs
other.
Left.
So,
and then they'd eat each other.
That was
and
it.
Then they'd eat us.
That was the scene? That was it?
That was it. That was how the movie
closed.
Oh,
closed. A happy That's ending. The, so it's a happy was. Ending.
So I got viscerally angry at this movie because I felt as though I was being personally insulted throughout.
You were.
The idea that...
From the very beginning with the narration in the beginning, the voiceover...
The dinosaurs are literally everywhere, right?
Which is, by the way, very cheap. That's a cheat sheet. That's a cheat to just like, let's just have the reporter just bring us up to speed.
But there's also a global black market for them.
All right, William Goldman.
How does that work, right?
Oh,
black markets are for rare things that are impossible to find or are endangered, right? But when they're everywhere, cold-blooded, hairless reptiles living in Alaska. There's a Brachiosaurus. A Brachiosaurus is an herbivore which requires, I looked this up, 880 pounds of dry plant matter per day. Where did those two Brachiosauri get their dry plant matter in Alaska? How did they get to Alaska?
Yeah.
Why did they decide to go north where it gets colder? None of this makes any fucking sense.
They all
sense.
Got freed from the mansion, right? They got from the compound. That's how it started. They all got freed from the
this
compound.
This is Ramsey, the genius Dodge, yes. Tim Cook's young
his
prodigy.
Right-hand man.
Right, his right-hand man.
Dodgson. We got Dodgson here.
Yeah,
to catch
I didn't even realize that was Dodgson until later in the movie. I'm like, oh, come on.
This is one of those things where it just, he is introduced as the vice president of communications.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the guy who is at your...
He's
your,
what?
He's the VP of comms.
Yeah.
He's not the CEO?
No. Ramsey is the VP of comms.
I like the actor, but...
I didn't even catch that.
Again, just these little things.
Little things.
The the dinosaur whisperer shit drives me crazy. But then there, I mean, just the, I did not care about either set of protagonists, and maybe the movie could have succeeded if it had just had one set.
Yeah.
Right.
And
just
it's
one
sad
set,
because
give them a journey, give them something to do, but neither set has a convincing set of motivations.
Well, we've talked about this. You guys mentioned this a lot over the years, which is the smaller stakes. Some of the best movies have smaller stakes involved. And this one is just, everything is interplanetary. Well, it's planetary, but, I actually
when they get together, when those two groups get together, they have like negative chemistry.
I felt so bad because
it's not a bunch of our old friends are together. It's like why these two nothing works.
And I so like Sam Neill, and to see him just And I remember thinking about this when I saw the trailer for this movie, thinking that they're gonna it's the whole thing is just jammed in to force us to go to the theater because we want to see the old gang together with the new gang together and lots of member berries in between. I thought at some point, with the whole thing with Dodgson and the shaving cream, with the throwback, the shaving cream can.
So, the Dilophosaurus being the one to
get
Dodgson.
Where did he get the shaving cream from?
It was how did he get it? Because it was in the mud. It
was it in Jurassic? Was it in Jurassic World? Did they find it in Jurassic World or something?
Did.
Where
did
between that and everything else and the other member berries, I thought for sure you were going to find out that the female pilot was the daughter of Samuel Jackson. Because, why not?
That would have been good. How did they not
do that?
How did
they not connect that? Because,
how is she not trying to get revenge?
The daughter of Jeff Goldblum's adopted daughter.
Yes.
All grown up. The gymnast.
Yes.
Her all grown up. That's what she left her father, who were.
Yeah.
Previously, the dumbest scene in the whole series.
The uneven parallel bars.
The little girl kicking the raptor.
To its death.
To its death.
By doing gymnastics.
And by the way, the raptors in this movie, the Mission Impossible chase scene throughout the narrow streets of Malta, didn't they seem indestructible? Raptors, they're animals, aren't they? They're animals.
They have titanium exoskeletons like Wolverine, and they're unstoppable. And their claws are surprisingly grippy on cobblestones. They have no problem with traction like that.
And again, there's a lot of this. I thought about this, the CGI. And particularly the opening. So, first of all, I'll just go through. No surprises, I think, on the quadrant scores here. The plot was an F. It said in parentheses, it's just this bioethics clusterfuck. That's what I said. It's insane. Okay. Duration is an F. Action
it's
violence.
It's long, isn't it?
It's so long. It's like almost two and a half. Long. It's almost two and a half. The action, I have to admit, I graded this yesterday. The action, I kind of gave it an A. For the action, I kind of liked some of the scenes. Some of the scenes were fun. Okay, I'm just going to say some of the scenes.
Give me
not
one.
Not the story.
With the guy on the scooter who gets eaten by the dinosaur. That made me laugh.
That was good, too.
Bryce
Dallas Howard in the swamp and the scary dinosaur with the claws. That was really scary.
That dinosaur, that's from the hot dog's fingers dimension. That's what that is. That dinosaur was from that dimension. The hot dog fingers.
That's a real dinosaur. Blind. It was blind.
I didn't realize that this was set in the multiverse. Yeah. I like it more now. Okay. It makes more sense.
I gave sex and nudity an NA because Jurassic Park does not have sex. That's not their thing. So, but I could have given it an F because I thought there was some potential there. With Bryce Dallas Howard. I think she's so pretty. I like her. What? JVL, what are you laughing about? You don't like Bryce? I like she's great.
Is it just me or does Bryce Dallas Howard have dead eyes? Does she have like the
the way she looked fluctuated. And I wondered if she was, we could say this on this podcast. I thought she might have been pregnant. I'm not allowed to say that?
I think she was at some point between.
But other times she looked different, that's why. So, whatever.
I am certain that Bryce Dallas Howard is a wonderful, wonderful woman. I do not know that she works really as an actress. I don't know.
I don't think she works as an actress in these movies. She's very good in The Village.
She got to take.
Remember the Village where she plays a blind woman whose eyes don't see?
Go to the towns. She got to go to the towns.
Telling you, man, her eyes don't work.
For the medicines.
But no, she directed a couple episodes of The Mandalorian,
yeah, I saw
including
that.
the space station.
Did she direct
one that was actually
the Jurassic
good.
Park one?
Yeah,
where it's like the AT-ST comes out and it's a whole sort of reference to in The Mandalorian. The village. Remember they're in the village?
Maybe. That's, she might
that's okay. But literally, JVL, I'm going to read the first two sentences of this thing I had here, which is, early on, I just wanted to walk out of this movie. And in the second sentence, because really, who gives a shit?
It's not often that we see a lot of bad movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, like sometimes they're bad. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not Beach often bum, that I take it personally widows. And I feel like it's insulting me. This one, I felt like the movie was making fun of me as like, yeah you're going to take this.
Yeah, you're going to take this.
You were just going to sit there and watch the cold-blooded hairless lizards living in Alaska, and you're just gonna suck on that. You're gonna look at the French Alps or the Swiss Alps, encircling a throbbing, humid, Cretaceous period jungle, and just accept that it works. You were gonna watch Chris Pratt riding on a horse with a rope, lassoing a 25-foot dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to believe the physics of a 25-foot dinosaur that probably weighs in excess of 6,000 pounds, moving 55 miles an hour, that Chris Pratt and his horse are able to bring it to heel with their rope. That is all going to make sense.
And in addition,
he wrapped the rope around a tree.
The stump. He got it through the tree branch thing. But you know what else? That particular scene, JVL, they totally mailed in the CG, the special effects. I was looking, I'm like, is it just me? And I wanted to know if it was just me, because I thought, this looks terrible, or am I just used to seeing dinosaurs?
No. It's weird too. The things, this specifically what was bad about it was all the background work. I don't know what it was that they were doing that did not work, but it was like everything that was against it looked blurry. I don't understand how a movie that expensive can look so cheap, but it looked cheap.
Who directed it, Sonny? Because
Colin Trevorrow. Yeah, well, he did the first Jurassic World.
Oh, that's right. And he was an indie darling, right? He was Monsters, right? And
No. He did, I want to say Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah, Safety Not Guaranteed. Yeah, he was an indie darling who took on Jurassic World. And people, I got to say, this is one of those cases where I feel like we must be missing something, because people love these fucking movies.
Yeah, $145 million, yeah.
And I don't get it. I never saw Fallen Kingdom. I think
we did it for the show. Did you not see it? Because that was terrible.
I did see it. Maybe
it's the
I
mansion
saw it.
And they free them all.
Oh, you know what?
End.
I did see that. And until you just said that, I didn't remember it. I saw Jurassic World, I think, on an airplane, and I could not tell you a single fucking thing about that movie. I remember nothing about it.
It's just a theme park rehash.
Yeah.
Time we got it right.
I understand why Jurassic World was a success. It at least makes some basic storytelling sense, and
plus you focused on two characters, which is Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas.
You're focused on Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. You've got the kids who are doing like the kids stuff from the original Jurassic Park. I mean, it's a rehash of Jurassic Park down to like going to, remember they like go to the old visitor center.
Yeah, that's right.
And like that is it's a pure uncut member berries rehash legacy
once more
sequel
to the well.
I get that being a success. I can understand that. I don't respect it, and I don't appreciate people flocking to this shit, because we're just gonna get more of it. But I at least understand it. I get it, that movie being a hit made a lot of sense to me, again, even though I thought it was dumb and bad. But the second one was, as you say, JBL, it's like not memorable. It's terrible. And this is another very, very bad movie. And yet a minus from CinemaScore. It gives the people what they want. It gets the two groups of trilogies together and there's a happy ending. That's all people want. It's all people want from movies. They want to remember things and they want a happy ending.
Well, I'll tell you what the people really want, Sonny. They want a bracket
Snyder cut
dinosaur face off. which is what we're going to give them in the bonus episode.
We're doing a,
at least you get that.
Doing a bracket, doing a tournament style bracket
of the dinosaur terror.
Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Dinosaurs we're most terrified of. Is that what we're?
Who
we're,
would
be,
who,
we're
who would defeat
on?
Which dinosaur?
I think it could be that, or it could be which. Which would you rather face off against? Or
I feel like that's the same basic.
Or it could be who would defeat who. Right? In,
oh,
you know,
is it
shark,
who would,
crocodile,
which of the two?
Gorilla.
Okay.
Right. I don't know.
Okay. So back to this wonderful movie. The whole thing with Biosyn, was it just basically trying to tell us to stay away from GMOs? Was that the message of that?
That was one of the messages.
There was a lot of messages, which is why the plot got an F. But one of the things I thought was interesting is this belief that, oh, because it's going to be strictly their crops that only people can use, and then everybody else is going to suffer unless you get Biosyn crops. And that's basically like, you know, the Bill Gates conspiracy about how Bill Gates is, this money and meatless alternatives. And so what's going to happen is our dependency on meat is going to be curbed once the cattle gets poisoned. And then we'll have to go to Bill Gates for his meat products, as was explained in the World Economic Forum.
But the movie is incoherent on this point, because when Tim Cook and B.D. Wong are discussing this, at first Tim Cook says, you know, oh, this locust thing, we need to do this because it's all about establishing control. And then B.D. Wong says, when talking about the locusts to somebody else, that the whole thing was an accident, that they didn't, you know, they engineered these things not realizing what they would do, and they got out and it got out of hand, and they got to find a way to fix it. Like,
which is it?
Even within, and B.D. Wong, my God, he looks worse than Laura Dern.
I thought they were going to reveal that he was ill, like he had some sort of a sickness or something, which is why... But, you know, that he seems weary.
I think he's weary
from the weight of bioethics.
Yeah, I think he is intentionally made to look terrible because the weight of all of this is pressing down on him. Do you remember him in Jurassic World?
Yeah, he was a villain.
He had that awesome black turtleneck.
Yes,
he was like the evil scientist.
Yes,
and now he's like the dude. He's dressed like the dude.
Well, now he's got that nice shawl.
I feel so bad all the time.
Okay, here's another
thing. About what I've done.
It's like, okay, so the cloning of dinosaurs, clearly this was a mistake. It's bad, but humans, is that okay? And also, she's not. Okay, we're going to talk about the daughter, Maisie, who we refer to and people refer to as a clone, but she's not a clone.
I wanted the dinosaurs to eat her.
I know. So she's not a clone. Her mother gave birth to her without a male. Because, you know, certain frog species do this, and certain other species, like the raptor, does not need a man. So without it, so she was JVL. She was immaculately conceived.
So I was wondering if that's what they were saying, or if they were saying that she was cloned and then implanted. The embryo was implanted.
Oh,
in the
I
womb.
Think that they just did the frog or, thing without explaining.
Well, I think if it's,
or was it immaculate conception?
I think it's immaculate conception. I know it's.
It's
awful.
Well, I think if it's a clone, it would have to be entirely her DNA, right? It's
well,
not
she
like
looks exactly like her, supposedly, right?
She's, well, it wasn't her. No,
so but at least she knows how she's going to look like when she gets old, which is
that. It would be entirely her DNA if she was frog asexual reproduction. That would also be this fucking movie makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
And I just wanted, everybody to die in it.
Fair.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why this movie made me so angry, but it really, really
did.
I was really,
it's
also,
stupid.
It was.
It's aggressively stupid.
The pilot, that whole thing with the female pilot, how she comes to the rescue, that was so forced and was not developed at all. Everything just seemed mailed in. You know what I'm talking about? It just seemed like,
you know,
what's happening here?
Our buddy Ben Dreyfuss made a point talking about Jurassic Park. He said, you know, look, you know, not every problem in the world can be solved with a gun. But if dinosaurs are a problem, we could probably solve that with guns, right? I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to exterminate dinosaurs. Like,
if you wanted to, but why would you want to?
If dinosaurs are creating a problem, we could probably take care of that.
You want to talk about an environmental disaster? Think about the brontosaurus's bathroom habits.
Mm.
I mean, massive. Not that we saw them in the snow. going to the bathroom. They looked like very gentle.
Well, they hadn't been eating because there is no foliage for them to eat.
Just eating snow.
They're just eating bark. Just eating those trees that got cut down.
The dinosaur centipede.
Ah, oh, that was.
Are we done talking about this?
Make
it stop.
Do we have any more? I don't know why. And it'll be interesting to see how this does next weekend, because really, I hope it just stops. Please.
I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there's Lightyear. I guess Lightyear could.
Probably.
You know, G Money wants to see that, and it looks horrible. I mean, I'm going to go because he wants to go, but it does not look. Who cares? Does anybody care about the
everything
Buzz Lightyear story?
Everything is a prequel now. There was some other trailer about something else I saw, and it's again another. It's all prequels.
It's not a prequel to Toy Story. It's the movie that Andy saw that made him want to buy a Buzz Lightyear toy.
Really?
That's what this movie... This is the movie that the Buzz Lightyear
toy is based on. You know what I thought this was? I thought this was he was real, and then he somehow ends up getting zapped
into a toy.
Yes, it's like so
he's trapped
metaverse,
for the rest of eternity,
like a metaverse universe thing. And all of a sudden, he's like, no. And so, in fact, when he says that, no, I'm real, he really is real. And then, Woody tells him,
did you watch any of the Toy Story?
I did, but I don't know about that.
He goes, and there's like whole
there's
racks
a whole right,
of...
right, but that he happened to be the real one.
He was the real one.
From a different, gotcha. From the, you know, it's cosmic. It's cosmic. Okay.
Sure.
Please tell me we're done. Correction.
I tried to end this
three minutes ago. You did. Corrections, shout outs, anything?
No, I got nothing.
Okay. All right. Good. Oh, that is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet to us at Sunny Bunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. You know what we didn't get a chance to talk about with, and it's just too long for this segment, is the Disney thing, the Star Wars hotel.
So I saw a story on this, and it was an unsourced, Disney watcher.
I do not
understand it, and it seems
this was the only fact in the story. Disney is doing focus groups of people who have gone to the Star Wars hotel,
okay,
and they're paying them for their time, and from this was spun out a whole like, oh, Disney is terrified that their hotel is flopping, blah blah. The thing is booked up through like August.
Yeah.
I talked to some Star Wars fans. I was like, what do you guys make of this? And they were like, no, this whole thing is ridiculous. Like, the hotel is booked for the next 4 months. If you want to go there, like, you can't, or it's like super expensive, but like,
when we go, it's going to be even better.
I'm not going to that work hotel.
You're going, and it's going to be great. And I'm going to make friends there, and I'm going to be social, and Vic can drink till his heart's content. He can have
the
blue
milk.
Oh, I
was thinking of other things, too, you know.
We could do
that.
You
can bring
Kate,
and she can maybe wear a brass bikini.
And maybe make a friend, make a new friend.
But I can drink, and you can make friends.
The female Bib Fortuna.
If you're into that sort of thing.
You know the people, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the tentacle
people. Yes, the tentacle people. You could put it that way.
Do those things move on their own?
It has other...
I don't know. My understanding is they're sex organs, so...
I'm sure it's fine.